Now, at the gate, in the court, and in the holy place, God is where they would come through so they could be among God. Where God was, he was behind that veil that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. What he was doing? Dwelling among his people. Listen, his counsel is going to stand. When God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, it don't matter what happened after that. You can't alter that word. I tell you, that's the word of life. That's a law. That's a law of the spirit of life that's in God's word. And then later on, it said this. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the natural man, not after the old man, but walk after the new man, walk after the spirit. Why? Because the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what sin, for what man cannot do through the weakness of the flesh, God sent forth his Son, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And watch this. He didn't condemn us. He condemned sin. The word condemn means to declare not suitable for use. When they condemn a house, that means you can't live in it no more. It's not suitable for use. This is what, man, the law of the spirit of life that was in Christ Jesus did. It didn't condemn us. It condemned sin. It declared sin not suitable for use against you. It declared that, man, even though your sins are like scarlet, boy, they wash white as snow. For what purpose, Darth? The only place you can fulfill your God-given destiny is not in the wilderness. It's not in your... You got to get back to Eden. You got to get back to that delightful place. You got to get back to that spot. You got to get back into the presence of the Lord. You have to get back in him and him in you. I think this is what perhaps why we haven't seen as many mighty works and the glory of God manifested in the earth to a much more greater degree than what we've seen. It's because we've been trying to accomplish all of those things from this wilderness experience in our lives. Listen, you can't do that from there. All you can do out in the wilderness is have church, put on good programs, get people to join the church, shake the preacher's hand, write their names on the church roll, and begin to be discipled by the church. And have good service. But to rule and reign, to have dominion, to be in the image and likeness of the Most High God, that can only be completed from the place that God designed for it to be completed. The place that God originally put man on the earth, in that garden. That's the only place that can be done from, church. If we're not careful, man, we're trying to do all that and accomplish all that God has for us out here in the wilderness. What you mean? Egypt, you know, remember the story of how Moses delivered the children out of Egypt? Egypt is a type and a shadow. The Old Testament is types and shadows, things in the natural that really pertains to spiritual things. But because they were spiritually dead and spiritually separated from God, then all God had to deal with a man through natural means. So the Old Testament is types and shadows. For instance, Egypt, when the children of Israel was in Egypt, Egypt is a type of the world, this world system that we live in. Under the bondage of Pharaohs is a type of the devil. And Pharaoh's army, that's a type of all the demon co-host men that Satan persuaded to join in alliance with him to rebel against God. So Egypt, Pharaohs, and his army is a type of this world system that we live in, the devil, who established it on the earth the way it is now, and all his angelic hosts, man, demons, that's man in alignment with him. same way all of us were. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Born in Egypt. Born under the slavery of Satan himself. And just like God sent Moses to go tell his people that he heard their prayers and that he come down to deliver them, and then he went told Pharaoh's man, thus said the Lord, let my people go. Same thing Jesus did. Just like God sent Moses to get his people out of Egypt, same way God sent Jesus to get us out of this wilderness experience in our life. Get us out the world. Get us out the world. Get us out this world that we was born in and conditioned to live according to and the dictates of. And just like, man, Moses delivered them, man, and brought them out into the wilderness, same way Jesus Christ come in and set us free from the bondage of Satan himself. Delivered us, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of this world system. Even though we're in it, we're no longer of it. And translated us over into the kingdom of his dear son. And on the way of translating us over into the kingdom of his dear son, man, he took us out of Egypt, out of the world, through the wilderness. Just like Moses did. The purpose for Moses taking them through the wilderness was so that, boy, they could be brainwashed through their relationship with God. So that, boy, they could get rid of that Egypt mentality, that poor man mentality, that slave mentality, that woe is me mentality, that I'm a nobody mentality, that I'm lost mentality, that I'm in bondage mentality, so that he could erase all of that. But what purpose, Arthur? So they could go into their inheritance, so they could go into their promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. But God promised them, man, from the beginning, I promise I ain't going to leave you, and I promise I ain't going to forsake you. And I'm going to come myself, and I'm going to redeem your life from the destruction, and I'm going to replace you back to where you fell from and give you everything that you love. But before I can do that, God, while I'm doing that, that's my intention, God's saying. But while I'm doing that, I got to take you through the wilderness too. Why? Because you still got world mentality. You still think like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. Why? Because that's how you was born. That's what you was conditioned and trained and grew up in. You couldn't help it. That was your nature. That's you couldn't help but the sin. That was your nature. You're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So God said, I got to take you through the wilderness, man, so I could clean you up from that. I got to brainwash you. I got to get you, man, to repent, to change your way of thinking. From that old Egypt mentality, that old Egypt thinking, man, into kingdom thinking. To the original thoughts and plans and ideas that I originally had for your life. So he did that, and he took them through the wilderness. And as he was taking them through the wilderness, man, you know, a lot of men, they died in the wilderness. Just like a lot of saints. Just like a lot of believers. They believe in the Lord. They're not lost. They saved. They accepted Jesus Christ into their hearts, into their lives. So we're just wandering around in the wilderness. When all the time, right across the Jordan River, right there, right across the Jordan River, they were at the borders of the promised land. But they wandered around 40 years. Just like us, the church. Been wandering around in the wilderness. Year after year after year after year. Going around and around and around in circles. Well, hey, listen, God didn't have no problem getting Eden back to us. God didn't have no problem getting salvation to us. God didn't have no problem, man, redeeming our life from destruction. You know what his, I don't like that word problem, but for lack of a better way of saying, you know what his deal is? I say it in that way. He got a hard time getting us to Eden. It wasn't nothing for him to get the kingdom of heaven back to the earth. But it's not as easy for him to get us back to the kingdom. It wasn't hard for him to get Eden back here. It's hard for him to get us back in Eden. Because we still have that Egypt mentality, that world mentality, that religious mentality. And we really just little bitty babies. wandering around in the wilderness. When everything that he said, let me back up a little bit. He told Adam and Eve, he said, I promise I ain't going to leave you and I ain't going to forsake you. And then he told the devil, he said, see you, that woman, this is a promise God made to the devil way back in Genesis chapter 3. He said, that same woman that you deceived, that woman going to have a seed. And her seed going to tear your head off your shoulder, devil. He going to tear all your authority, man. He going to destroy your works. And he going to destroy your, he going to bruise your head. You're going to bruise his heel, his walk and everything else. But when it's said and done, maybe he's going to tear your head off your shoulder. Head is authority. He's going to take back all the authority that you stole from Adam and Eve in the garden. He's going to, that same woman going to have a son. And that son going to destroy you and everything that you stand for. And boy, that devil begin to hunt relentless for that seed. That's why Cain killed Abel. That's why all the problems in the world now, hatred and racism and everything else, and mankind against one another. The devil trying to destroy the righteous seed. And boy, the Bible say in the fullness of time, it don't have nothing to do with dates and hours and months and years. I mean, when everything was in order, when the settings was right, and when the language that he wanted to convey to the people could be understood, boy, God fulfilled that promise. He fulfilled that promise that he made to Adam and Eve. He told them, I ain't going to never leave you and I ain't going to never forsake you. Listen, man, Adam never messed up, man, but God didn't leave him and God didn't forsake him. Noah, man, messed up and everything else, but man, God didn't leave him. God didn't forsake him. Abraham wasn't a perfect man. Abraham had all kind of faults and all kind of little issues and everything else, but God didn't leave him. God didn't forsake him. God still used him. Moses, man, murdered some people, man, and was a fugitive and was running, man, from the law, from Egypt. Them. God didn't leave him. God didn't forsake him. God used him in a mighty way. David slept with Uriah's wife and then had him killed. But then God didn't leave him. God didn't forsake him. He committed adultery and then had the woman's husband killed. And then God reported about him, this is David, he a man after my own heart. God didn't leave him. God didn't forsake him. He fulfilled the promise. Then he fulfilled the promise, man, to that devil too. He said, the seed of that woman going to come and bruise your head. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin. Tempting on all points, just like us, yet without sin. What are you doing, man? Boy, he coming to fulfill, man, God's word. He coming to redeem our lives from the destruction that we was born in because of Adam's disobedience to God way back in the garden, and to cleanse us up from all our unrighteousness, and then restore us back to our original place in God. To reestablish that garden that God planted. That atmosphere and environment that God planted. And where God put mankind in. He couldn't restore Eden back to the earth. And cleanse us up so that you and I can get back into Eden. Why, Arthur? Why is that so important? Because it's only from there that we can fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny. It's only from that place. You can't do it out in the wilderness. Out in the wilderness, you can have good church. You can have good seminars. You can have good programs. You can even, man, win souls, man, you know, and to Jesus and to faith in Jesus and get them saved. But saved is not the goal. Saved is the means to the goal. You saved for a purpose. What purpose? So that you can get back into, man, God's original plan and purpose for your life. So that you can get back into the original place that God designed for you to fulfill his plan and purpose for your life. What's that place, Arthur? The presence of the Lord. What separated us from the presence of the Lord? Our sins. What reconciled us back to God, man? The blood of Jesus Christ came in, man, brought Eden back to the earth, brought the governing authority of God back to the earth, had that governing was on his shoulders, and then he taught all the functioning principles of how we really supposed to act and talk and walk and live and be. He taught all the functioning principles. While he was ministering on the earth for 3.5 years, man, he was preaching, man, and teaching, man, the functioning principles of the kingdom, the laws that governs the kingdom, how to live and how to act and how to think and how to walk and how to talk and how to be in the kingdom, in the Garden of Eden. Why? Because you don't know nothing about that. All you know is how to live according to the dictates of this world system that we were born, trained, conditioned, and grew up in. So not only did he have to bring it back, but now he had to, man, repent us, if I can say it that way. In other words, brainwash us. Repent means to change. To change everything. Change what you're doing. Change the direction you're going on. Change everything. And it starts first in your thinking. In the way you think. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think woe is mean, then that's how you're going to be. If you think negative thoughts, then that's how you're going to be. If you think I don't know how I'm going to make it, that's how it's going to be. But if you think, man, my God supply all my needs. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. I got authority and power over all the power and authority of all my enemies. And you learn how to think the thoughts of God. So what he had to do? Brainwash us. He started teaching. Jesus did. He went about that synagogue, man, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching them the functioning principles of it. We know it as the keys to the kingdom, the laws that governs the kingdom. But see, when they got into the kingdom, once we receive Christ into our lives and we get into the kingdom, listen, it's not enough for us to be in the kingdom. Now that we are in the kingdom, you must learn the functioning principles of the kingdom, how the kingdom operates, how the kingdom is, the laws that governs that kingdom. That's why I say you had to be retrained, reconditioned. That's the purpose for church. That's what church is supposed to be about. That's the purpose why God gave the gifts of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, what? To perfect the saints, to build the saints up, to edify you. God trained them just like Jesus did the disciples. He taught them all that the Father had given him to taught them, and then he told them, now you go do the same thing that I did to you. You go and teach them. You go share with them. You go preach the kingdom of God to them and teach them the functioning principles, man, that governs it and how to operate it in that. That's what our church services up and our seminars and everything are supposed to be about. Not just to stir up your emotions and make you feel good and say we had good church today and that was a powerful message and everything else. Yeah, that's all good and that's all dandy, but if it's not accomplishing its original purpose and intent, what that is, to build you up for the work of your ministry. You have work to do too. God say, let us make man in our image and not like you, and let them have dominion. All of us have an assignment to play, a role to play in man establishing the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Every last one of us, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl have a role to play. And that role that we had to play is not joining the church and shaking the preacher's hand and becoming a member of the church. That's a part of it, but that's not it. Our role, man, is to help God establish, man, or reestablish his ruling authority back on the earth. What ruling authority? What he said. What he doing. And what he said and what he doing. I'm talking about, man, above even what he said. A lot of things that we minister, saints, is what God said after Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden. He couldn't deal with them. He couldn't talk to them the same way he was when they was in the Garden of Eden, when they were walking and talking in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship, and no rebellion, no sin, none of that. Hey, listen, remember I told you, when he started talking to them and fellowshipping with them in the wilderness, it was different from the way he was fellowshipping and talking to them in the garden. Why? Because he was no longer in them like he was in the garden. And they were no longer in him like they was in the garden. Now they're separated from him. So he had to deal with us and talk to us and minister to us a whole different way. And all that dealing and talking and ministering to us in that different way that took place in the wilderness after Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden, all that ministering that he did through the prophets, through Moses, through all the stories that you read in the Bible, from Genesis, man, chapter 3, all the way to the end of the Bible, all those just means. What you mean means? Means to an end. What you mean means to an end? It was just something God was doing to get you back to a place that he wants you to be. So it was means to an end. What? The way he was talking to the man, mankind, after they got put out of the Garden of Eden, the way he was dealing with them after they got put out of the Garden of Eden was a means, man, that God used to get them back into his original plan and purpose for our life. And not only get us back into the original plan and purpose for our life, but get us back into the place that that original plan and purpose for our life might be fulfilled. What's that place? Eden. That's what Adam called it. Last week on the broadcast, we told you Adam knew it as Eden. Then after they got put out of Eden, God never left him, never forsook him. Then when it got so bad up on the road, man, God provided another little Eden. Actually, man, you know, Noah built an ark. And despite all the disaster and all the stuff that was coming up on the earth and everything else and the whole earth being destroyed, yet in that all, there was everything that Noah them needed. Protection from everything. Then, you know, after Abraham came, man, I mean, after Noah came, Abraham. Abraham noted as, man, you know, it was a promised land to him. The children of Israel, Moses, they came out of Egypt. They understood it as the promised land. David, he had a revelation of it. He knew it as the secret place of the Most High God. Where you can get in that place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where you can say of the Lord, he's your refuge and he's your fortress. In him, you can put all your trust and confidence in him. Regardless of the arrows that fly by day, nor the terror by night, nor 1,000 falling at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, you don't even have to worry about none of that. Why? Because, boy, in that secret place, in the promised land, in the ark that Noah built, and in the Garden of Eden, and they were protected, man, and covered by the Lord. In Jesus' day and time, he called it the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And this is what he come to do. He come to fix up everything that Adam messed up for this purpose, so that you and I can get back into, man, the relationship that God had with Adam and Eve. Watch this. Before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, most of our sermons that we give, we preach from the Bible, you know, and everything else. And we preach sermons from, you know, the prophets, from Moses, and all the prophets. And all those messages that God was giving them, majority of them, man, we know how he was dealing with them after they had got put out of the Garden of Eden. Do you know, man, that was a message, man, that God was delivering, God was proclaiming to Adam and Eve before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If we're not careful, our messages, man, is what he ministered to them in the fall. And even in what he was ministering to them in the fall, he promised that he was going to redeem their life from destruction and restore back to them everything that they lost. Unfortunately, man, our understanding has been unfruitful. We don't realize, man, you know, that we don't understand and really comprehend. We said it last week and all the time on this radio broadcast. Our eyes have not seen, nor have our ears heard. Nor has it entered into our hearts all the things that God has in store for you. Let me make a long story short as my time is rolling up here. We said it last week. All God's love for us is so powerful. And you know, and after, like I say, after a good message, man, at church, man, on a Sunday, man, then the preacher say, okay, now the doors to the church is open. Listen. And you go up there and you shake the preacher's hand. You write your name on the church roll. And you become a member of that particular body, that church, that body of believers. and you start your discipleship, your learning and your relationship with God. That's a good thing. But that's a means to an end. That's what the preachers say, man, the door to the church is open. You know what the Father and know what Jesus Christ is saying to you right now in this today, right now, in this moment? The doors to the kingdom is open. And you can come on in and you can shake the Lord Jesus Christ's hand. You can meet him and shake his hand. And instead of writing your name on the church roll, get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So your name could be on the church roll, man, and you still not. You can go to hell on your name being on the church roll. But the Bible say, man, whoever name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, whoever name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, when you come into the kingdom, and that's the invitation. That's what God is telling us for this whole year. The kingdom of heaven, Eden, where you can do your job from, is available to you. You can come back into Eden. You can come back into the presence of the Lord. All your sins washed white as snow. And man, you can come all the way past the gates, past the courts, past the sanctuary, past the holy place, past the church service, past the ministry, past the pastors, past the bishops, past the fivefold ministry, past all of that, past your church service and all our seminars and everything else, all the way behind the veil into the literal presence of the Most High God. Boy, that's Eden. The children of Israel, you couldn't go there. The wall, that middle wall separated them. But when Jesus Christ came to this earth and did what he did, and paid the penalty and cleansed us up, that wall that separated the holy place or the literal presence of the Lord from the people was torn into, signifying that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl can come on back to Eden. Though your sins be like scarlet, baby, you say, just come like you are, and I'll wash you white as snow. I'll clean you up. I'll sanctify you. First, I'll justify you. And then, what do you mean? I'll save you, said the Lord. I'll clean you up. I'll fix you up. And then he said, and then I'll sanctify you. I'll separate you from something to something. I'll separate you from that old man and that old way of living and that old mentality. And I'll separate you until, boy, God's original plan and God's original desire for your life. I'll separate you from that. I'll sanctify you. And then after I separate you, man, from something to something, I'll separate you from the world to me. And then I'll glorify you. What do you mean? Boy, I put my stamp of approval on you, and I'll let you, man, manifest my glory in the earth. As long as you realize that it's my glory. Let me say it different. You say, I'll manifest my glory through you. What's his glory? His manifested acts. His manifested word. Not just his spoken word, his preached word that stir up our emotion, but that preached and spoken word in manifestation. Not just enticing words of our wisdom and our knowledge, but in demonstration and in power. The sick get healed. The dead raised to life again. The blind see. The dumb talk. The lame walk. And people, man, come out of the wilderness experience into the kingdom, man, into their place. Listen, my time is rounding down. It is about time for me to go, and I say it again. Hey, this is the last week of this year. It's been a year this month since we've been talking about the kingdom of God and reestablishing it. Start next week, we're going to build. Because the invitation is today. Come. The doors to the kingdom is open. Not the doors to the church. The doors to the kingdom is open. He say, come. Meet your Lord Jesus Christ, your Father in heaven. Shake their hand. Come out of the religious experience that you have into a personal relationship with them. And man, begin to grow thereby. Come on back into the Garden of Eden. Because it's only from there that we can fulfill our God-given destiny. Next week, we're going to start, man, building now. This is the last message in the introduction and the reestablishment of God's kingdom on the earth. Start next week, man, we're going to learn it and the functioning principles of it and grow in it, man. And once again, the invitation to you is, if you're lost, if you're down and out, if you're poor, broken, hungry, Jesus is saying, come on home. Come on back into the kingdom and everything will be all right. I promise you that. Listen, the doors to the kingdom is open, and I trust that you just come on in. That's all you got to do is just come on in. And once you come on in, man, allow him to disciple you. Start learning and teaching and growing from there. Listen, I got to wind this up. Next week, tune in. It's going to be a powerful, powerful week. My wife and I, Gail LaVey, my family, we love you with